So Genesis chapter 39, and I feel lost even though I attended Sunday school online. I still feel like I missed something. But we've come to the part now where Joseph has been sold. He's in Egypt, and that's where we pick up. He's brought down, verse 1, to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down there. And the Lord was with Joseph. That's what's important. I actually had a friend text me this morning something about Daniel going to the lion's den. And yet, as Daniel's about to go into the lion's den, he says a prayer. And what is in his prayer? Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving. And I said, isn't it incredible how when we are surrendered to God's will, no matter what, we just surrender to God's will, that even death is not a problem. We're just going to serve God. We're just going to live for God. And if that's God's will for us to go, Sister Tammy used to always say, and I just hadn't heard her say it lately. She probably still says it. But you can't kill me. All you can do is change my address. You know, I'm just moving from here to there. And that's where we are, is just knowing that we have it either way. In fact, to go to heaven would be better. But nobody's really in a hurry, right? But it will be better. And the Lord was with Joseph. I know. How can we say that God is with Joseph when his brothers all turned against him? How can we say that God was with Joseph when he was thrown in a pit as they conspired to kill him? How can we say that God was with Joseph as he sold to merchants that take him to a foreign land, far away from his family, from his familiar surroundings, and sell him as a slave in Egypt? How can we say God is with him? How? Because I've read the rest of the story. That's how. Guys, that's the only difference. Is you don't know the rest of your story. I don't know the rest of my story. I know what's going on right now. I know what's happened. And I look at that and I see my circumstances and I say, God, why? But God knows the rest of the story. And so keep hope in your situation, in your circumstances, in your trials, in your grief. Look to the end of the story. The Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man. By the way, what did Joseph own? Nothing. He owns nothing. Prosperity does not have to do with what we have materially. But what did Joseph need? Nothing. You see, that's the thing. It wasn't what he had, it was what he needed. And all of his needs were provided. In fact, he was probably living as well or better in Potiphar's house than he had at home with his parents and his family. He was in the house of his master, the Egyptian, verse 3. And his master saw that the Lord was with him. It's so important that we as God's people don't grumble and murmur and complain about everything. If I just had to look at or just take what you say and say, is God with that person? Has God blessed that person? By what you say, is God with you? Or have you somehow fallen short? You see, as we grumble and complain, guys, there are lots of things going on in the world that I don't like. There are things going on in the world that I don't agree with and things that I don't even understand. But you know what? We better not be complaining all the time. Because God is with us. And look at what God's doing in our lives. I look at our people in this church, and I see that God is with us, that he's doing great things in our lives. Yes, there are people in our church who are struggling and suffering right now. That's true. But it's not the end of the book. Keep hope. Keep faith. His master saw, verse 3, that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that Joseph did to prosper in his hand. Man, everything was going great as long as Joseph was involved. Y'all know anybody like that? Just whatever they get around just does well. That's what God's people, it ought to be part of our reputation that when we're involved, we bring it up to the next level. We bring the atmosphere up, the environment up, the attitude up. Well, verse 4, Joseph found grace in his sight, Potiphar's sight. He served him. He made him the overseer over his house. And all that he had, he put into Joseph's hands. So, I don't know if you've ever been in this situation. But there were things that people would ask Potiphar, and you know what Potiphar would have to say? Ask Joseph. Why? Yeah, because Joseph was in charge of it. He was taking care of all of it. And Potiphar, they'd say, Potiphar, what about this? He said, well, let's see what Joseph says. Well, what do you want to do about this? Well, let me talk to Joseph. That's how much confidence he had in this young man, because it wasn't the age of the man. It was the wisdom of the God of the ages. It was God working through Joseph, because Joseph was surrendered to God. He was living for God. And so you know what? Now, this is a term that was used with Daniel. But when you look at Joseph's work, give me one word that described Joseph's work. Anybody got one? I know it wasn't on your homework, right? Excellence. Excellence. Not mediocrity. Not good enough. Excellence. That should define who we are and what we do. Man, when people look at our lives, at our work, at our expectation of ourselves, excellence should be the term that comes to mind. Verse number 5, it came to pass from the time that he had made him overseer in his house, over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house, next three words, for Joseph's sake. Okay, so you're the only one in your home that's saved. Well, God will bless the home because of the one child of God in that home. God looks down on, remember the Syrophoenician woman? And she said, the Lord said, I'm here to minister to the Jews, not to foreigners. And she is Syrophoenician. She wasn't a Jew. And she said, and he said, I don't take the children's bread and give it to the dogs. And she said, no, Lord, but the dogs lick the crumbs that fall from the children's table. She wasn't offended that the Lord had referenced her as a dog in his parable. She just wanted the crumbs. And you know what the Lord did? The Lord blessed her and gave her the answer for her prayer. The Lord will bless for that one person in the home. Paul talks about it in Corinthians, about the husband is sanctified by the wife. That doesn't mean the husband gets saved because the wife's saved. But it means that the Lord looks on that home and he considers it a sanctuary. He considers it holy, sanctified, a sanctuary. He looks on that home and that saved wife is blessed, and her blessings pour over to that unsaved husband. Or the saved husband and pours over to the unsaved wife. Or the saved child and pours over to the unsaved parents. God looks in that home, he sees one that is saved, and he said, I'm going to bless that one. And that means that the people around that one are probably going to get blessed too. God blessed Potiphar's house for Joseph's sake. So does it matter how you live? Yes, it does. It matters if I'm walking in the counsel of God. It matters if I'm walking in the favor of God, because the people around me will benefit from my faith. Not only in my home, but in my job, and my friends, in my circle. They will benefit by God's favor on me. They will benefit from God's favor on you. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hands. And he knew not all he had. Like I said, somebody say, what do you? He said, ask Joseph. Well, how much do we have in the bank? Ask Joseph. except the bread which he did eat. That's all that Potiphar knew, is that he sat down at the table and he ate. He just lived his life. He didn't have to worry about finances. He didn't even pay attention to it. It didn't matter. As long as he got what he needed, that's all. And Joseph was a goodly person, into verse 6, pretty and well-favored. So he was a good-looking guy, very attractive. It came to pass, verse 7, after these things, that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph. And she said, "Lie with me." But he refused. The Lord blessed him. And the favor of God, the blessings of God, the evidence of God was attractive. People liked Joseph. But for this woman, that attraction became too much. Guys, there's nothing wrong with liking people. There's nothing wrong with loving people and talking to people and laughing with people. But there are boundaries. We have to know where the boundaries lie. Now, she's a married woman. And yet, she looks beyond that boundary. She crosses that line. She says, "Now, here's a guy who's doing well. He does everything we ask him to do. I'm going to ask him to do this one more thing." And he refused. He said, "Behold, my master wotteth not what is with me in the house. He has committed all that he has into my hand. There is none greater in this house than I. Neither has he kept back anything from me but thee." Now, I don't think that Potiphar said to Joseph, "Don't touch my wife." I don't think that Potiphar said to Joseph, "Here's where I draw the line." This was Joseph's spirit. This was Joseph's conviction. And he said, "There's one thing I will not do, and I won't cross that line. How can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" Now, who would he sin against if he committed this act of adultery with Potiphar's wife? Well, he would sin against Potiphar. He would sin against himself. He would sin against God. But see, Joseph understands that next step, that he would also be sinning against Potiphar's wife. And he explains that to her. He says, "Look, right now everything's fine. There's no hiding. There's no secrecy. There's no guilt and no shame." And he says, "Look, if we do this, man, it's going to cause lots of conflict. It's going to cause lots of trouble. Guys, if we could look at our lives and understand that sin is always dangerous. How many of you think you'll die if you get bitten by a rattlesnake? Maybe. You might not. Right? You might not. Says Sonia, says she didn't die. You want to do it again?" Guys, there's a chance you won't die if you drink poison. Right? But do we really want to take that chance? And yet, Potiphar's wife, as Joseph's explaining, she's dismissing everything he says. She says, "It'll be okay. I'm the boss's wife. Who's going to, even if somebody finds out, who's going to tell? It's my idea," right? Isn't that what Sarah told Abraham? "It's my idea." What'd she say later? "You should have talked me out of it." I think Joseph read that story, didn't he? It came to pass, look at verse 10. "It came to pass as she spake to Joseph day by day." Y'all know it. Oh, she kept flirting. Every time Potiphar's back was turned, she was winking and fluttering her eyelashes. And you know, she's Egyptian, so you know she had all that makeup on. I mean, just imagine in your mind how beautiful she must have been. Now, maybe she wasn't. But I don't think that she was irresistible. I don't think that Joseph turned her down because she was resistible. He turned her down because of his conscience, because of his heart, because of his convictions, because of his faith, and because of his loyalty. Let's not forget that. Day by day, he hearkened not to her. Verse 11, it came to pass about this time, Joseph went into his house to do his business, and there was none of the men of the house there with him. And there was a festival, and everybody was gone to the festival. Except Joseph, he was working. And she pretended to be sick. Now, this is not in here. This is extra study. She pretended to be sick and didn't go to the festival. Why? Because she knew Joseph would be there by himself. Verse 12, she caught him by his garment, saying, "Lie with me." And he left his garment in her hand and fled and got him out. He said, you can have my coat. I got to go. Verse 13, and it came to pass when she saw that he had left his garment in her hand and was fled forth, she called to the men of her house and spake to them, saying, "See, Potiphar has brought in this Hebrew unto us to mock us, and he came in to me to lie with me, and I resisted." I cried with a loud voice. Yeah, she cried with a loud voice. "You better come back here." Came to pass when he heard that I lifted up my voice and cried, he left his garment with me and fled and got him out. And she laid his garment by her till his Lord came home. She has set the stage. I corrected somebody the other day, and the story got back to me that I had cussed her out. And I called her supervisor and said, "Have you ever even heard me cuss?" Somebody said, "I could tell you what happened. A woman scorned. She got her feelings hurt. I'm sorry she did. But don't lie about me. That's my reputation." Potiphar's wife had finally reached a point where she determined that her desires were not going to be answered. And she was scorned. And so rather than just suppress her desires, she decided she would hang him out to dry. If I can't have him, nobody will. Y'all ever been around that kind of attitude? So, guess what? Her husband comes home. He sees the garment. She repeats the lie. Verse number 20, Joseph's master took him, put him in prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound, and he was there in the prison. What did it say at the beginning of this chapter? The Lord was with him. The Lord made everything Joseph did to prosper. Here we are again. How can you say God's blessed me? How can you say God is with me? Look at what I'm doing. Look at what's happened to me. Somebody lied about me. I was framed. My reputation, look, talk about reputation. My reputation's been destroyed. Now he's in prison. Verse 21. Y'all see that? Well, the Lord was with Joseph. When we're surrendered to God, it doesn't matter. When we are just committed to doing whatever God wants. How many of you want to go to prison? Not me. I have no desire to go to prison. But if Something happened, and I don't have any desire to be in a hospital. But if I find myself in a hospital or a prison or somewhere that I didn't really choose, I'm just going to trust God. The Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. Gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison. Joseph says, man, can't somebody just give me a break? Everywhere I go, they want to put me in charge. Everywhere I go, they want me to do work. Everywhere I go, it's all in my control. Joseph didn't mind. He was industrious. He was a go-getter. He wasn't the type to just sit around, lay around. Boy, he wanted to be doing something. And so now he's in charge of the prison. He's a prisoner. And he's in charge. And whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it. Verse 23, the keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with Joseph, and that which he did, the Lord made to prosper. They go to the prison keeper and say, how's everything going? Ask Joseph. What are we having for lunch? Ask Joseph. Joseph's in charge. Everywhere he goes, it just comes to him. Why? Because he has a servant's heart. He wants to serve. He wants to help. It's not like he applied for any of these jobs. But he goes and he has such a willingness that eventually everything falls into his care. And it came to pass after these things that the butler of the king of Egypt and his baker offended their lord, the king of Egypt. Pharaoh was wroth against two of his officers, against the chief of the butlers and against the chief of the bakers. And he put them in ward. So now they're in jail. They're in prison. In the dungeon. Verse 5, they dreamed a dream, both of them, each man his dream in one night, each man according to the interpretation of his dream. The butler and the baker of the king of Egypt, which were bound in prison. Joseph came in to them in the morning, and he looked upon them, and behold, they were sad. So important. I go back to this a lot. That's why I value the opportunity to stand at the door and shake hands and see people after church, and to walk around and see people before church. Because you can say to somebody, how you doing? And what do they say? I'm doing okay. I'm doing fine. But you can tell if they're lying. Most of the time, some are really good at it. But you can tell there's something wrong. I've got a friend right now, and I've seen a change, a shift in the last several months. Something's happened. I don't know what it is yet. I've tried. Hey, everything's fine. But I can tell something's going on. Now, maybe it's just weariness, maybe just tired, maybe working too hard, or just changes of his situation. But you can look at people. That's what Joseph did. He looked at the butler and the baker, and he said, something's different. Something's wrong. Why are you so sad? Verse 7, he asked Pharaoh's officers, wherefore look you so sadly today? Verse 8, they said, we dreamed a dream, and there's no interpreter of it. Joseph said, do not interpretations belong to God? Tell them me, I pray you. The chief butler told his dream, and he said, in my dream, behold, a vine was before me, and the vine were three branches. And it was as though it budded. The blossoms shot forth. The clusters brought forth ripe grapes. Pharaoh's cup was in my hand, and I took the grapes, and I pressed them into Pharaoh's cup. And I gave the cup into Pharaoh's hand, and Joseph said to him, this is the interpretation of it. The three branches are 3 days. Yet within 3 days shall Pharaoh lift up thine head and restore thee to thy place. And thou shalt deliver Pharaoh's cup into his hand after the former manner when thou wast his butler. Wow, that's pretty good, huh? that's nice. Just three more days. What do you do in prison for 3 days when you know you're getting out in 3 days? Just be happy, right? Enjoy it. Just rest. Get 3 days of rest before you got to go back to work. And Joseph in verse 14, his only request, he says, think on me when it shall be well with thee. Show kindness, I pray thee, unto me. Make mention of me to Pharaoh. Bring me out of this house. Now hold on just a second. Joseph's in prison. He's in charge. Does pretty much whatever he wants to do. The Lord was with him. The Lord blessed him, made everything in his hands to prosper. But Joseph says, but it's prison. I mean, I know God's been good to me, and obviously God's using me here right now. And if I hadn't been here right now, I wouldn't have been able to help minister to the butler. But it'd be nice to be out of prison. So remember me. And he tells the story. I was stolen away, and I've done nothing that should bring me into this dungeon. So remember me. Now here's the baker sitting over there. He just heard the butler's interpretation. Boy, he's got the biggest grin on his face. He can't wait to share his dream. He said, that was a good interpretation. That's a good answer. Man, what did that give the butler? Hope. Boy, that's a big word, isn't it? Love that word. Hope. It not only gave the butler hope, but here's the baker over here, and he's got a lot of hope too for right now. Verse 16, when the chief baker saw that the interpretation was good, he said to Joseph, I also was in my dream. Behold, I had three white baskets on my head, and in the uppermost basket there was all manner of baked meats for Pharaoh. And the birds did eat them out of the basket on my head. Joseph said, this is the interpretation. The three baskets are 3 days. Oh, so far it's about the same as the butler's interpretation. So far, so good. In 3 days, verse 19, shall Pharaoh lift up thy head from off thee. Oops. That's not the same as the butler's, is it? The butler, he will lift up thine head and restore you to your old position. The baker, he will lift up thy head from off thee and hang thee on a tree. And the bird shall eat thy flesh from off thee. Wow. What do you do for 3 days when you know you're going to be hanged in 3 days? The baker has no hope left. He didn't really like prison, but he probably preferred prison to being hanged. He doesn't like that interpretation. Guess what happened on the third day? It was Pharaoh's birthday. He made a feast to all his servants and lifted up the head of the chief butler and the chief baker among his servants. He restored the chief butler to his butlership again. And he gave the cup into Pharaoh's hand. But he hanged the chief baker, as Joseph had interpreted. In verse number 14, Joseph made one request. Is this a man of God, Joseph? He went to prison. Everything he did prospered. These guys liked him. They probably laughed with him. They came to him with this story. He came to them and they had these troubles. They shared their troubles. He gave them an answer. The answer came to pass. He's obviously a man of God. One request. When you get out, remember old Joseph's in here. Mention me to the Pharaoh because I don't belong in here. There's no reason for me to be in here. Look, I'm not complaining, but it's a prison. Verse 23. Yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph, but forgot him. I imagine on that third day, officers came to the prison. They said to the prison keeper, "We need the chief butler and the chief baker." The keeper of the prison said, "Joseph, go grab the butler and the baker. They have an appointment with the king." They get dressed, and of course the butler, he's got a little pep to his step. The baker's going to his appointment. It doesn't say here, but I bet on the way out, Joseph said to the butler, hey, don't forget. Off they go. Officers take them, and he sees them as far as he can see them, and then he waits. Don't you imagine? Joseph's probably got his best on, got all of his stuff packed up. Because the butler's going to say something to Pharaoh because I gave him the interpretation. They see that the interpretation is real. It's from God. They're going to say, hey, that guy in the prison, you got to know that guy. He's great. Sun sets. Nobody's come for Joseph. Because the butler forgot him. Guys, if there's anything we could learn from these two chapters, number one would be just be surrendered to God, enthusiastic about our faith, and let's just see what God will do with us. Don't complain about your circumstances. Don't worry about your circumstances. Just put it in God's hands and do your best. Excellent work. Do your best. And then I guess the other big point would be don't forget those who help you. Don't forget those who minister to you. Don't forget those who bless you. I don't mean ministry in the sense of church. I mean they encourage you and they love you and they support you and they check on you. Don't forget them. Because, you know, that's the problem many times. The one who checks on everybody else has nobody checking on them. Let's take a break.